for this $100,000. Okay, I don't have anything. And somebody says to me, they heard about what I needed, someone close to me. And they said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take on a second full-time job, and I'm going to give you $25,000 toward that $100,000. I was like, whoa. That, like, how do you accept something like that? They're going to work two full-time jobs, and they're giving me $25,000. I was like, I don't know how to accept that. But I have this need. I know you got to humble yourself sometimes. So then I'm like, okay, God, I don't know. What about the other 75? And I'm going to a meeting, and I get this text, and they said, can you please check your email right now? And I said, okay, and literally I'm about to run out the door. I don't have time. I go back to my email, and I open it up, and from this person who I see, I don't even think I see him once a year, maybe once every 2 years, I don't even know. And what they did is they said, I heard you had this need, so I just sold my house, and I made $75,000, and I'm giving it to you. All right, so now I'm thinking when this is happening, like one of the things that God spoke to these guys is that the oil, and this is what I was coming to, remind me of my third testimony, okay? But they had actually gathered together for at least 2 to 5 years prior to the Bible dripping every week and prayed for a spiritual awakening and revival in the land. They were faithful to do it. Never think that what you're doing goes unnoticed by God. Every move of God that I've studied has begun with somebody praying. Every move of God. You look at what happened down in Pensacola. John Kilpatrick, who is the pastor of the church, is at a point of, I got to have something more. There's got to be something more, God, that you have. And so he says, makes an announcement Sunday nights, I'm going to be at the church for anybody that wants to join and pray for revival and awakening. Many Sunday nights, many of them, he said, I heard him say it, I and one other elder were the only two that showed up for prayer. But they did it Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night. And then what happens on Father's Day is all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to pour out, and people came from all over the world to encounter the presence of God. Same thing up in Toronto. John and Carol Arnott are the pastors of the church up in Toronto. And they decided in their devotions in the morning that they were going to take a time and join together in prayer, asking God for awakening and revival to come into the nations, and especially they were praying for Canada. And what happened? In 1993, there began to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God that came into a meeting that no one knew what was about to happen. But I'm saying that to say this. Somebody has to grab hold of the horns of prayer at the altar of God and say, I will not let you go until you begin to pour out over this nation and believing God that something's going to transition. But it has to be intentional. It can't be every once in a while we throw up a flippant prayer, but I believe it has to be intentional. If you go back to the Hebrides revivals, I could do revival after revival after revival. Over in the Hebrides, it was two elderly women that couldn't get out because they were frail and weak. And what happens? They begin to pray, and they would spend nights up praying, and God pours out his spirit. Same thing with Charles Finney. Don't mind my voice. It's just allergies. I'm fine. Charles Finney, what happened with him? How many of you remember reading about Charles Finney? I mean, I'm from that region, folks. Over 100,000 people came to Christ when Charles Finney was around. But he had Father Nash and Father Cleary that paved the way through prayer. And that's what's happened with this dripping oil Bible. There are people that gathered, and they said sometimes it was just seven of them. But every Monday night, they gathered in prayer that God would pour out his spirit. Do you think that the streets of America need healing? But you know where else we need healing? Right here in the church. We don't know how to rejoice. We don't know how to rejoice with those who rejoice. We can weep with people, but we don't really know how to rejoice. And if somebody gets more than us, we kind of don't like it. Well, that ain't fair. What about me? Some of you know it becomes a sickness. What about me? What about me? It's not fair. During this time, I'm walking through a very difficult, I've got two testimonies left, all right? Walking through a difficulty. And I said to the Lord, I don't know if any of you have ever done this, and please don't hold this against me. But I said to the Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. And you know what happens? I get a message. They said, would you minister to the president of this nation? God just opened the door for another nation. Is that wild? I mean, we need to learn how to maybe celebrate. Okay, I'm going to give you one more chance. So can you open up water for me? Okay, so here's the one that I love, love, love. I love all of them. Something has happened and is happening. I mean, you got to get on the glory train. He said he'd be a ring of fire around us. You don't even know about Zechariah with me. All right, so 3 weeks ago, I'm invited to do a conference in a place I've never been before. And so Charity, you were with me then. Yeah. All right, so Charity and I go, and it was a great conference, loved it. And then Sunday morning, so this was just 3 weeks ago, Sunday morning, I'm just walking just like I do here. Charity said it's hard for her to take pictures because I'm always moving. But you know, the Spirit of God moves. There's movement. He did hover at times, but then there's movement. Anyways, I'm walking like this, and I just pointed at a woman, and I don't even think I asked her name. I try to get the name so it's on the recording, and I just said, God is doing you a favor physically right now. God's doing a favor for you physically. And then I went on preaching. What I didn't know afterwards, I went out to lunch with the pastors. You had gotten on the road. You weren't there. Because we drove separately on that one. All right. And so we're sitting, and they're telling me that this woman, her and her husband, are on the leadership team. And she had cancer a number of years ago and beat it, and then it came back. And they told her it was stage 4, and basically get your house in order. And so they're preparing for her to die. The whole church is grieving. I didn't know it. I had no idea. I'd never seen her before in my life. Do you know where she was going? I think it was that afternoon. So 3 weeks ago, she was going out to the Cancer Center of America in Chicago. And they were going to just talk with her about anything else that maybe they could do to help her in this time of preparation that she's dying and leaving her husband and family. And so she was out there. They ran tests on Wednesday. So, not, you know, this is just 3 weeks ago, folks. The pastor came to a meeting I just did Friday night, last Friday night, to give testimony to everybody. They sent her home on Wednesday, totally cancer-free. You got it. You got it. See, we got to learn how to celebrate. We got to learn how to celebrate what God does. Because when we celebrate what he does, he says, I can't help it. I got to come and do another miracle. Do you remember Cain and Abel? And God accepted Abel's, am I doing it right? Yep. Abel's offering. And Cain, his was not accepted. We wouldn't like that today because everybody gets a trophy, right? That's not how God works. And so, you know, God talked to Cain about it. And I want to say what God said to Cain is basically this. If you could learn to rejoice with your brother, it would open up the windows of heaven, a blessing over your life. And that's one reason why we need to celebrate what God does. And so I'm walking into a meeting and I find out one of the pastors is there last Friday night. And so I invited the pastor up to give testimony, and the pastor wept because this is a person they all love. See, we don't know this person. It doesn't have as much meaning to us. But imagine if that person were you, and you were given no time to live, just get your house in order, and then God comes by and says, I'm going to do a favor for you. Like, I think it might put a little joy in our lives. Because he is God. So this is what I wanted to do tonight. I have the handprint of Mr. Kubis, who literally raised hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And many thousands of miracles took place in his house. And so I have his handprint, and I have a little bit of the oil left. And so what I thought I would do, I did this last week. I think that I want to just anoint us all in preparation for what God wants to do in our time together. And my prayer is that we take seriously. See, some of us will just kind of sit back and wait to see if anything will ever happen. But there's some of you that I know will get a grip on prayer and understand that God's not playing games. He's not playing games. And America needs awakening. America needs it. We need it. The church needs it. And if there's one thing that I believe God has so impressed on my heart during the worship time is that I love what God was doing tonight. I love what God is doing. I love it. But, you know, I can walk out of here and have a bad attitude towards somebody in this room. You know what I mean? Like, or say things that I ought not to say about them. And the Lord wants us to really love, which means I don't walk out of here and talk bad about Barbara. I know you can take it, Barbara. Yeah. I can use you. I can use Charity. She's fine, right? But do you know how easy it is for us to just slide back into that fleshly realm where we're now back in the flesh. Here, we're in the spirit, and it's wonderful, and then we just slide out in the flesh. And see, we got to cut that stuff off. We got to stop it, and we've got to love the way God loves and see the potential of God in each other. See, like, my main gifting is a prophetic, and I can sense things right now as I look around the room. I feel the prophetic stirring. But I feel like tonight what we need to do is get ourselves anointed and aligned in what God is doing today. Whether you believe the oil drips from the Bible or not, I don't care. We still need an anointing today, and we need to stir our faith to believe for impossibilities and not live in this realm right here. We walk by faith and not by sight. But how many of you know most of us walk by sight and not by faith? If you knew half of what I was going through, honestly, I ought to be in one of those white things, all wrapped up. It's the truth. It's the truth. You don't even know what I've walked through this summer and what has happened. And I am stomping on the head of the enemy. You can't have my destiny. You can't have my purpose. I belong to God. He knows my name. He knows where I'm at. And he knows how to make a way where it looked like there was no way. He's amazing at what he does. And I'll tell you what we got to do is get out of the flesh and into the spirit. And believe what we sing about. That it's not just words that sound nice and sound good, but we've got to believe it. You want to help me? All right, so I'm going to do it. Are y'all? You don't have to do this. Not one of you has to do it. I didn't do anything of what I was going to do tonight. But it's all right. You all messed me up. It's your fault. It's your fault. No, I realized as you were doing it, it was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I just let you do what you want to do, right? So we're going to just kind of make an aisle here, and I'm going to leave this here on the platform. This is the hand from Prophet Kubis. And I love it. I have a stone from him too. I don't have the stone with me, but I have his handprint. So what I'm going to have you do is just pass through this aisle. Chair will come up and pull this over. Do you feel the oil? You do. Okay. I don't have a whole lot left, but somebody else in here might have some. Here's how I knew this was the time to bring it out. All right, so this leader that I know that was in the meeting, they put the Bible on him, right? So on, I think it was last Tuesday, Wednesday in there, I messaged them and I said, hey, have you scheduled these guys in because I want to be there when you do it? And they said, they responded right back and said, funny that you should ask, Kathy, because we were just in a meeting with them last night and we just came out of lunch with them today. I was like, okay, now's the time. So I believe that there is a time for everything. And as I was just driving up here, we left last night at 4:30, quarter to five when Chair got off of work. We were supposed to arrive in one place where we booked a hotel at 9:30. We didn't get in until almost 1. We only made one stop at a rest area to use the restroom. We never bought coffee or anything. It was because of traffic, and then there was a whole section of 95 that was closed, and so we had to find our way around. And then we finally got in, and it's like almost 1 in the morning. And then we drove the rest of the way today. But I thought, you know what? That was 3 hours that was added onto our trip. This is our third trip here. And the three names that we always remember is Pastor Kathy, Barbara, and Sandy. Always remember them. But I felt like I was saying to Cheryl all along, there's something to this, there's something to it. I believe that there's been a delay in what God wants to do in the Northeast. And it's time for the outpouring in the Northeast. All right, so this is going to have to be slid forward. Can you do that? I'm going to have some water. Or Barbara. Barbara, can you come up and help Charity for a second? I just realized what you were doing. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Okay, so what we're going to do is slide this forward so that we can kind of make an aisle here and people can just pass through. That should be good. Thank you. Good. I figured if anybody had the oil, it'd be my spirit girls. Okay. Okay. Woohoo. Oh, good. I'm almost out. I'm praying it refills, though. All right. So this is what I'll do. If you want to be anointed, how many know God has purpose for us gathering? And I was telling Pastor Kathy that I woke up early this morning. I think it was right around 4:30, 4:30 in there. And I couldn't figure out where I was. And I saw curtains on the wall, and I thought, I have to be in a hotel room. And I knew I was in a hotel room. I didn't know where. And then the Lord just began to speak to me that Pastor Kathy took a risk 3 years ago inviting me here. Because it was right after my husband had passed. And she didn't, I mean, we know, we go back long ways. And I love these folks very, very much. But I feel like there is something significant that's coming into the region. God said, I will shake that can be shaken. There's been a shaking. How many of you know we've been shaken? How many of you have been shaken in this last year? How many of you have had shakings in your life this last year that you wondered what it was all about? Anybody feel like Mary at the tomb? Lord, where are you? Where are you? I really believe that God wants to anoint us for what's coming, anoint us for prayer and believing Him, anoint us for faith for miracles. Now, this has been the word that God spoke to these guys, because I know some folks that know them now, so there's some things that I know a little bit behind the scenes. They believe that the oil is a sign, because it was, okay, I'll back up a little bit. When they would pray in the room, you know what would happen in the room? The walls would drip with oil. The walls, you can actually see it if you go to YouTube. The walls would drip with oil. Now, this is really cool. Back a few years ago, we had some revival meetings, and somebody came in and said, the walls are going to begin to drip with oil. So when I heard that, I was like, woohoo, we're in for something good coming, right? All right, so then God spoke to them and said, after Trump is set in as president, there's going to be a shift. And so he's inaugurated on January 20th. Whether you like Trump or not, you're called to pray for him, folks. You pray for those who are in authority. All right? God puts down one, he exalts another. All right, so anyways, Trump is inaugurated on January 20th. On January 27th is when the Bible started dripping with oil. And God told them it would be a sign. Now here's part of what he said, a sign that he is going to restore back to his people what's been taken. Health, prosperity. He said it's going to touch into your finances. I can tell you, once I got around the oil, that's when the 100,000 came to me. Like something happened, folks. That's where the lady with the back completely healed. The lady given a death sentence with cancer completely healed. You got to stir your faith to believe. So if you just kind of walk through, say, well, I'll just see what God does. You know, if he does it, he does it. And so I put my hand here. Yep. Keep going. Okay, I didn't feel anything. Well, if you don't believe for something, you're going to get nothing. All right? So I'll say it again. Somebody said it. If you don't believe for something, you're going to get nothing. All right. All right, so are you ready? So I'm going to have you just line up, and you're going to just keep right on walking. Put your hand here. I'll anoint your forehead. If you've got hair on your forehead, I'll find a place to put it and not mess up your hair. You know what I need is a cough drop chair. All right, where's the lid for this? Okay, you put your hand there, and I'm going to anoint you. All right? All right. Yes. Yeah, you want to come through too first? Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you. Yeah, jump in. Put your hand on there. That's right. Now face this way. All right, good. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, God. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord, touch Alba. Touch her, God. Touch her. Blessing me. Hey. Oh, Lord, thank you for your touch.